Okay, welcome back to YAG. I've been reading and rereading the book of Ecclesiastes, and what I notice is that two words repeat themselves, and they are the words labor and toil, right? And Solomon links them to the work of man's hands. Next slide. Much effort and exertion with seemingly little profit. And when I think about my own job, sometimes it can seem like that. Seem or feel like that. Okay? So the keywords are seem or feel. And when I describe what I do, the range of the things that I do to colleagues from other schools, and then they always say, hey, then your performance grade is this, is it? Then I will say, no, it is this. And then they will, huh? Are you sure? Are you being fairly treated or not? And then some will say, if you were from my school, you would be one of the higher performers. And it's not that the grade is bad, okay? It's just not commensurate with the things that I do. Yeah, some people even say you are actually saving money for the school on what you do. And the bonus also not commensurate. So when I think about this, if you look at it from a human standpoint and from an equity standpoint, the responses are valid. It really makes sense. But if you ask me whether I would trade the past 13 years where I am, I'd say no. And why is that so? Because if I look at things through the eyes of faith, it's been actually a wonderful journey. Because God has used all these things to shape me. So for one, the variety of work has made me a more versatile or more complete officer. From the classroom to the field, I cover all, right? Long hours, I think my capacity of work has expanded. Yes, my progression is slower than what happens in general, but it is because of this that I learned how to trust and be content in the Lord. And you know, I look at all these years, I've never lacked, like never. And what's most special, especially in the last few years, is this joy that God gives. And it is a joy that comes, very interestingly, the moment I step into class. Usually, sometimes I wake up, like, oh, Ben, it's quite early and I need to go to school. But then the moment I step into my class, wow, the dreariness just dissipates. And there's that special joy. And it is a joy that also comes tracing God's hand every step of the way in this journey. And I think 2022, yes, so 3 years ago, I asked my form class whether they kept a gratitude journal. I told them it's very helpful. But what I couldn't tell them was, when I keep it myself, I can see God's hand very clearly. It's like every step of the way, next slide, you can really literally connect the dots and see that God is shaping you, God is orchestrating things behind the scene. And it's very special. So, you know, as I think about all this, one, I thank God I have a job. Two, I thank God for a journey of being shaped by Him. And I thank God for special joy that comes just knowing every day that He is present with me. And what is my response? The song that popped up in my head is not an old song, okay? It's a new song, newer song. It's a contemporary song, right? It has to match the mood of what I share, right? So, and the song that just popped up in my brain is, what can I do? And truly, what can we do but thank the Lord for His presence, His hand in our lives? Okay, so let's sing, What Can I Do?
Thank you, Wei Chen. Always good to be able to give thanks for whatever the Lord has blessed us with, even though circumstances may not be to our liking or favor. Okay, and let's pray and then we can look at today's text. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to praise you and to give thanks for all that you have blessed us with. May we always have the sense of joy in having a higher perspective, even though things may not be as favorable. We pray that you will also enlighten us, even as we study your words, as we draw lessons and learn deeper truths for us to learn as we go through life. We pray that you will be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so last week we were looking at how we ought to have a good name, and it's something that we really want to develop and to guard. We also looked at the idea of having learned lessons in the house of mourning rather than a house of feasting. There's so many deeper lessons for us to learn about time, how to number our days, and so on, right? I mean, you look at life and so many people out there who are facing the reality of death and even death itself. And you can see how life can just be so frail and temporal. And it's good for us to keep rethinking about how we are spending our time, our lives, and so on and so forth. I mean, right, we are already in July, 6-7 months are gone, and you know, before you know it, it's going to be Christmas again. And well, we look forward to that, but you realize, wow, 2025 gone, and we're going to 2026. So time just passes along. How you use it, how you would spend it is something that we really want to do so wisely. Okay? Now, let's look at verse 5. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about how to look at circumstances and what kind of spirit we ought to have. Okay, so verse 5, it says, "It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools." Now, so you see these comparisons, right? Already you see the comparison, verse 1, right? A good name is better than precious ointment. The day of death than the day of one. So it's better to have these things. So you see these comparisons, and Solomon makes further comparisons. Okay, and he says here, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise. So I recognize that we all don't really like to be told that you're wrong. We don't like to be rebuked. It's very hard to go through. But yet at the same time, we recognize how important that is. There's so much wisdom. Well, the assumption is that the person is rebuking you is correct, right? Let's assume that, right? If the person is totally wrong and you can confirm it, your friend can confirm it, then okay, this is a very different situation. But here you have the rebuke of the wise man, right? And so the wise would be able to have far more knowledge, far more understanding, and so he sees something that is wrong about you. He sees a problem. He sees a sin that he feels that is important for him to rebuke you for that. So how would you feel? So it's important to actually see the worth of a rebuke. Why? Because when you look at a rebuke and you see the value of it, there's insight, there's wisdom, there's correction, there's even concern and love, right? And it's going to be something that is helpful for your life. Right, if you're headed the wrong direction and, you know, if you carry on, there are consequences, there are problems, and the person is able to anticipate that. a rebuke is going to be most worthwhile. So you don't want to just ignore it or set it aside. So that's why he says it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise. Right? So it could be from pastors, it could be from your superiors, it could be others who really care about you. Right? So when I feel that it's important for me to rebuke somebody, then I will do so. Seldom, but necessary, I would. Why? Because it is for the person's sake. And if the person were to reject the rebuke, then so be it, right? And the problem is that you will end up less wiser as a result. Right? So I think it's important for us to recognize the value of a rebuke and not to be afraid to be rebuked. Right? Even as pastors, we also gonna rebuke, right? Especially from Pastor Charlie. And he is one who is his insights, his wisdom, and necessary for all of us. So you can ask any of the pastors, you can ask any of the staff. We've been there, right? And still continue to be, right? Rather than somebody give you praise, right? The idea here is that then for a man to hear the song of fools. So the word song here is the idea of praise. So if somebody were to give you praise, wow, you're very good. But yet, whether that is true or not is another thing. Right? He could use flattery. It could be something that is shallow and empty. It could be even false. He's just saying things in order to make you happy. Right? Is that helpful? Of course not. Is there any value? Of course not. So the challenge is to be able to discern. To discern what people say to you, whether it's a rebuke or whether it's a praise. You want to be able to have the kind of understanding to appreciate, right? What is better? A rebuke is definitely better. Right? If you're not doing well and people come to you and say, hey, you know, wow, you're very good and I compliment you, wow, I like your smile, I like your this, but it doesn't help you in any way. What's the point? Isn't it better to be able to be corrected, right? And that you know the better. So I find so much, you know, when Pastor, I must say that the rebuke was far more earlier than, you know, the later years. But yet, you know, I look back and I see, wow, those were great learning experiences. Especially when you're much older, hopefully you become a bit wiser, you understand things better, so that when you do things, you will do it correctly and well. Right? And this is something that we all have to learn. All of us. I'm sure in the course of your work, you're bound to be rebuked one way or another. Learn to take it humbly. Right? Rather than the songs of fools. And then it goes on in verse 6, for like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Now, what is this crackling of thorns under a pot? So you just imagine this huge pot and they have, okay, how do you start a fire? Well, oftentimes, what they use as fire starters are actually thorns, bushes, right? And they will use that as a fire starter. But it is only meant to start the fire. Usually you have firewood, right? But it's very hard to start a fire with firewood. So you need something to ignite the fire. So you have little thorny things. So the idea here, what it means is that it brings joy for the moment. Same as laughter of the fool. It is only for the moment. So anything that is of the fool, right? Praise, songs, laughter, all these things, you realize that it doesn't last. And it's just very, very foolish, superficial, empty. And, you know, that's why he says this also is vanity. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs 9. And let's talk about this idea of rebuke a little bit more. And if you turn to Proverbs 9, verse 8. And it says, rebuke a wise man. So the assumption is, right, the rebuke is from a wise man to a wise man. Can you see this? So the question is, how are you going to receive the rebuke demonstrates whether you are also wise or not. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Wow. Doesn't happen all the time, but that's the point. Right? Because this person really cares for you and rebukes you, you ought to love this person. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. And that's why I say that rebuke is so important, because there's so much insight, there's so much wisdom in it, you become wiser as a result. You learn, you grow, you keep developing yourself, you learn from your mistakes. Right? So don't feel that you're being put down, don't feel that and sometimes, of course, we end up being discouraged, we mope, how can I make this mistake again, and things like that. Sure, we all understand that. But look at the wisdom in it. Look at what you can learn from it. Right? So sometimes we are told, okay, you need to do this again, you need to do this again. Learn to do it again. You are so much the better as a result. Right? True or not? Angela, true or not? Okay, what do you think? We all learn, right? I mean, we've all been there. I'm sure you are a much better lawyer now. Right?
I don't know about that.
Don't know. But we've been there, right? One way or another. It could be just general things of life. It could be the work related. It could be faith. It could be anything.
I think rebuke is necessary to grow.
Yeah.
Because if it's just praises every day, you're not going to... That's very superficial.
It doesn't go very far, right?
Yeah. And rebuke, assuming that it's from a wise man, is given honestly and sincerely.
Absolutely.
For the person to grow.
And precisely, I see the point.
I think Proverbs 9:8 is very true in the sense that it's very telling of how the person receives the rebuke as
yes.
well.
Yep.
Because that indicates your level of understanding, and that also, in a way, helps both parties to grow.
Correct, precisely, yeah. You see. So don't feel discouraged, right? I mean, my concern is sometimes when we are rebuked, we beat ourselves up, why like this, how come, don't. Learn. See it as if you take it well, you learn from it, you are actually the wise man. So I like this perspective, right? And you will appreciate why this is given. And that's important. Okay? So you're right. You see the honors and it's something that is done with concern. Okay, then we move on very quickly to verse 7, going back to Ecclesiastes 7. So this now is the opposite side. Okay, and he says, surely oppression destroys a wise man's reason, and a bribe debases the heart. So what is this all about? So on the other hand, you can be the one that oppresses. So this, it switches a little bit. And it is about when you end up possibly persecuting or even suppressing others, you can bring about harm or hurt And see, so of course, I don't think any one of you, you know, would oppress someone, or I don't think so. But the danger is that you can also, you know, maybe the word is not oppressed, but you can actually treat someone in a way that is not becoming of us as Christians. So why I say this? Because it actually affects your thinking and your mind. Now, there are times when, okay, you need to tell somebody certain things, right? Even correct, even rebuke. But if you were to do it in a way that borders on the idea of oppressing this person. So why I say this? Because I mean, and this is something that I've heard over time. When somebody comes to tell me and say that actually this person, you know, in church, seems nice, everything's fine, but then out there in the working world, he or she is very different. He becomes very, you know, can be quite mean or angry all the time and put down others along the way. So I raise this question, why do you need to do that? Why show different sides of yourself? One in the context of church people, and then when you are out there in the world, you treat others very differently. Now, I don't mean that you cannot be firm, you cannot rebuke, you cannot discipline. I'm not saying that. But you don't have to put down a person. You don't have to do it in such a way that actually you are harming the person more than anything else. You see what I'm trying to raise up? And that's something that we need to guard ourselves against. Why do you need to, inverted commas, oppress someone? And actually, it affects your reasoning. That's why he says here, oppression, such surely oppression destroys a wise man's reasoning. From being wise, you can end up being foolish in your ways. And you've seen this happen time and time again. There is no need to. Why can't we show kindness in the context of the church? Why can't we show kindness in the context and grace? In the context of work, in the context of our families, in the context of others. Right? Why do we need in any way be, you know, so I will talk about anger a little bit more, you know, and but this is something that we want to be concerned about. Right? And he goes on to say, and a bribe debases the heart. So this is something that we want to be concerned about, right? I don't think any of you are taking a bribe or whatever, but you read about it all the time, right? In a newspaper, right? Whether it's an accountant or a lawyer or this and that, or right? You see this happen time and time again. You read about it. And people are thinking, oh, if you give me this, I give you the business. Right? And that is the problem of how the world works. Do you need to resort to these kind of things? The answer is no. There is no need to. Right? And so it's important for us. Okay, then we've read this passage before, Psalm 62. So I just very quickly look at this. Do not trust, verse 10. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice I've heard this, that power belongs to the Lord. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. Why do we need to trust in these things? So sometimes we all, must be, you know, must say it put in a way that is, you know, you almost have to, like, put this person down. You got to say in such a way that, you know, trying to so-called get your point across. Don't need all these things. Right? Robbery, riches, things that we trust in. Why don't we look at God, his word? What he has said, why don't we look at his power? Why don't we look at his mercy instead? Okay, now let's look at Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. Right? So what is this all about? The beginning of a thing, right? It could be life, birth. It could be that you are starting out work and so on and so forth. It could be marriage. Why is it he's saying the end of a thing is better than its beginning? Now, I'm not saying that it's no good to have some, you begin something, right? But when you begin something, it is still very new. Things are still uncertain. Now, we talked about this before. But the end of a thing, when you look at life, the end of life, death, when you have completed your life's work, right? When you have seen yourself so much wiser as a result, the end is much better. Not saying that you cannot enjoy what you're doing. You can. Right? But what he's trying to state here, and I think again is how Solomon is trying to come to terms with life and death, is that he is getting a better perspective of how things towards the end, when there's a completion, when things come to an end, it is actually better than at the beginning. Beginning, things are still very new, uncertain, you don't know what's going to happen. A lot of challenges will come along the way. You got to figure it out. You got to deal with it. And you're still, not as wise. You gain from experience. You're wiser. You're far more established towards the end. It is better. So Solomon has these kind of thoughts at this point in time. And I think there are things for us to appreciate, right? And to be able to say, okay, you know what, as we go in, well, I'm getting older and a step closer each year to the reality of going home, right? It's good. I don't have to see that it's bad. In fact, I can see that it's better. You ask me, so I was just talking to someone, do I want to go back to my younger days? Do I want to go back? Yeah, forget about it. So foolish, so... drawn to all kinds of things, wasted a lot of time doing silly things, and you look back and you say, alamak, all wasted. Right? And but now, there's so much that we can do and so much more that we can consider and look at. Okay? Okay, now I really wanted to deal with the next part a little bit more, so that's why I was pushing forward. Let's look at verse 8 and 9. Ecclesiastes 7. It says, the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Okay. Better to be what? Patient. Right? I mean, in life, we all look at, things need to be quick, need to be fast, get it done, and so on. Right? But learn what it means to have patience, to be patient in spirit, to be able to persevere, to have long suffering, rather than to be reactive, impulsive. It's a spirit that that you can learn to tolerate. Right? If you're waiting at a queue, how come the queue so long? Well, we learn. Wait. Right? So, we learn. So when we were in Osaka, we had to wait and wait and wait. Whether it was the World Expo, waiting at the pavilion, wait under the sun. I never held an umbrella so much in my whole life because it was so sunny. You got to wait. Am I? Patiently, we wait, listen to music, read the Lord's Word, talk to your wife, and right? There are different things to do. Why don't we learn to be patient rather than to be proud in spirit? See, that's the opposite. You notice, he didn't use impatience. He used proud in spirit. Why? How come? Right? Instead of saying impatient, right, in spirit, he said proud in spirit. How come? Sham, what do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting that he uses that word. Is it because when you are just so full of yourself,
yep,
you only think about yourself, your time, your interests, and
yep,
you have no capacity to kind of be patient when things don't go your way, or when when you know people don't react in the way you want them to react?
Yes. So what does that mean? Why are you impatient? Right? You say, okay, you know, you have time, your time, your energy, and so on and so forth. But the problem here, a lot of times when you talk about patience, right, it really has to do with, as you say, the situation, right? And more often than not, the situation has to do with people. Right? And the problem is that the proud will always look down on others. Why can't you do this better? Why can't you get on with it? Why can't... So, Ching and I, we went to the supermarket, and then we were... I just went to buy some eggs and stuff like that. I went to the counter, this elderly lady, she was, you know, opening her bag and she was paying. Then I just put the stuff on the, you know, the thing where it's going to slide and all, right? What do you call it? I also don't know what you call it. Conveyor belt or whatever. And then she just looked at me like that and gave me this stare, you know. Then my wife said, why is she going to give you the evil eye? I also don't know. Right, I just put there anyway, you know? I mean, that's what it's meant for, right? The conveyor belt, right? So, okay, never mind. I look away. Why do you need to feel that way? Why do you need to stare? I also don't know why. Then she moves slowly. I also have to be patient, right? Okay, she's an elderly lady. Now, why do we need to do that? There's no need to. Right? So that's the thing, you see. Sometimes the problem is that there's the spirit, and the spirit, the proud spirit, always end up being angry. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry. Anger comes. So you ask yourself, whenever you are angry, is it a problem of pride rather than just anger? It is, of course, a problem of the spirit, right? Because pride leads to anger. You don't have patience, you are reactive, you are impulsive, you don't have that kind of control, right? And then it says here, anger rests in the bosom of fools. It's internal. It's there, deep within. It's from the spirit. And that becomes a problem. Why can't we learn to wait? Why can't we learn to understand what it means to be patient and to wait? So my wife again shared with me this book. It's a children's book about patience. And I thought it was very interesting. Maybe it's to help children or even adults. So basically, it is a book about how we need time to do things, right? For instance, so it begins to relate. Every page is about different timings. So from, like for instance, how long does it take for light to come to this earth? Anybody know? 8 minutes, okay? 8 minutes is what I usually wait for the Grab to come also. Right, about 8 minutes, 10 minutes, about there. 12 days is about how a bird would see the egg being incubated and then, okay, it will hatch. Right? 1 month is the cycle of the moon. So very interesting. It tells you all the different things about the moon, the crescent, half moon, and so on and so forth. You know, for children to explore. See, the point is that while you're waiting, why don't you discover? Discover about things as it happens, rather than to say, why is it taking so long? So children always say, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Well, maybe we can teach the children, why don't you look around, observe things. My eyes see, what do you see? What's that game? I don't know. My, huh? I spy something, whatever, right? And then, sorry, I forget what the game is. Right? And then you discover things along. So I appreciate what, because I began to actually, as I read the book, I began to realize, oh, wow, there are, you know, all kinds of things. Like, for instance, there are what we call honeypot ants. And these ants will go around collecting, you know, bits and pieces of things, food to eat. And then the ant will actually start growing like a honeypot. And then it will go back to the ant nest to feed. And this is something they will do over months, of course, 9 months pregnancy. Okay, what does it mean to see the baby grow, right? And of course, the lifespan of a man. And then they went on to talk about other animals and things like that. And I thought it was very interesting. Teaching children how to discover and wait upon whatever it is that you're waiting upon. Same thing. Why can't we learn along the way rather than to be so impatient? Right? Let's turn to Proverbs 14. Right? 14:29. And he says, "He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly." Right? So, when you learn to be patient, when you learn not to get angry, you have understanding. So sometimes, when people get upset, they get angry, and you tend to feel, wow, why is this person like that, and so on and so forth. And you, the thing is that we tend to feel that if we don't say our piece, we don't get angry, we are not as, we are not in a better position. You see what I'm trying to say? Sometimes we feel that we must say our piece in order to be in a better position. That is fair, that I've said my piece, that I've that things are far more equal now because I've become angry and done this and done that. Actually, that's not true. In fact, if you are far more patient, you have better understanding. You have good understanding as a result. You are wiser as a result, rather than not. So I appreciate what he's trying to say. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding. Right? 16 verse 32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. We've talked about this before, but it takes strength, you see. Right? Now, then we come to Psalm 37. Let's turn to Psalm 37. And in Psalm 37, we see how there's those who are evil, and the challenge that is given is do not fret. Right? Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity. Right? Why don't we trust in the Lord and do good? Dwell in the land, feed on his faithfulness. Okay, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. It is not just waiting. It is waiting patiently. And it's not just being patient. It's waiting for God. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, right? Because of the men who bring wicked schemes to pass. So this week I came across, someone who is much, much older I know this person being scammed, right? And because he was scammed, he lost a certain amount of money, and this was something that happened a long time ago. It affected him, and it affected him quite badly. And, you know, in my own heart, I was like, I always feel for those who really, when they go through this problem, I really feel it. Even to the point of being really upset. Right? Because whatever savings is just gone. But yet, we do not fret, right? We learn. We don't want to get angry, cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Right? Let's learn. Let's learn to go back to the Lord. Let's learn to rest in the Lord. Let's learn to wait patiently for Him. Trust in Him. He will deal with the evildoers. Right? For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. The Lord will bless. The Lord will bless sooner or later. So there's no need for us to get angry. Why don't we learn to be patient? Why don't we learn to see things differently? Why don't we apply wisdom instead? Right? So sometimes I know that having to deal with your colleagues and all, not easy. Right? Or even your bosses, not easy. Recognize that. No point getting upset. No point getting angry. Why don't we learn to wait? Be patient. Right? See it as part of God's plan and wait upon the Lord. He will reveal things in time. Definitely. In time. God will deal accordingly. You look at what's all the things that are happening in the world. Of course, we have earthly justice, man's justice. Sure. And that's part of it. But ultimately, the Lord will deal with whoever it is. Whatever evil, every time I listen to the news, some form of evil is being done by somebody, governments, presidents, people. The Lord will deal accordingly. But we wait. Why don't we learn to wait? Right? We learn to have patience instead. So, I think when we look at this idea of how do we respond to these things. Learn. Learn to be humble. Receive rebukes. Learn from them. Right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. So I keep going back to the Beatitudes because it's fundamental. We learn to be humble. To guard against sinful acts such as oppression, taking a bribe, all this kind of, I mean, anything. We hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why don't we learn to be righteous instead? And that's why I've been writing about righteousness from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 10. A lot of things there about righteousness. Why don't we learn? Right? How to treat others, how to relate to others, to be patient in spirit rather than being proud and angry. Blessed are the meek. Why don't we learn to be meek instead? Why don't, instead of being reactive and angry, impulsive, no point. You're just wasting, you know, anger, just, it causes harm. Right? It's harmful. Okay? So, as you go into your groups, take time to think this through. Right? How do we look at all these wise words that, you know, and we appreciate how at times when Solomon, he's able to bring these things across for us to understand. Right? Okay? Okay, let's pray and then we can collect our offering. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you will continue to help us to grow in terms of our faith and our lives. Help us, Lord, to recognize that there are times when we need to learn from being rebuked. And we recognize that this is not something that is easy, but necessary. And teach us, Lord, to be wise, to receive these things so that we can learn and grow from it. Help us, Lord, to learn to hunger after righteousness, to do things that are good and right in the way we relate to others, to never do things that would harm and put down others. Teach us, Lord, to have patience in spirit, in being able, Lord, to not end up being proud and angry. Teach us, Lord, to learn to be meek. We pray that you will continue to work in our lives, even as we learn from your word. We pray that you will also bless this offering, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.